This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
I don't know if your family has ever gotten in a fight. When I say family, it could be your siblings or your whole family has gotten, you know, like multi levels of family. I remember one time growing up, I saw my brothers fighting, and it must have been right after West Side Story, because they were in the back of the garage with knives, you know, almost like, and then they were like dancing with knives. And if you've ever seen West Side Story, it's especially now when you look at it today, it's kind of funny, but there's dancing and fighting, a lot of yelling and screaming, and sadly, a lot of saying some really bad language. So our family, brothers, I remember getting in fist fights. One time I remember was mad at my brother Paul. I forget about what, but then I realized that my brother Lewis had kind of set him up for this situation, and I was about to punch my brother, and I'm like 18 years old at the time, so I thought I could take him, and I could have if I wasn't stopped. And I went to punch my brother, and my other brother stopped me, but nobody stopped my brother Lewis, and Louis gave me a black eye, and so we've all patched up, you know, and so we love each other. And but family fights is no fun. I've heard of families not talking to each other. You know, I've seen shows, talk shows kind of things where, you know, a daughter and a mom won't talk to each other, and that's no fun. It's not the way God designed for families to interact. And the reason I share this story is that when we are diving into Romans, which we'll start today, and we're just going to go a brief portion, verse 1 of chapter 1, is that Paul is writing to the Roman church, the Christians in Rome, and we'll see throughout the weeks that this is a big challenge. You have those who are of a Jewish descent and those who are Gentiles, and there's a challenge, and there could be easily a split in the church. It doesn't take much to split a church nowadays. And so for fun, I'd like for us to vote. Right hand is the first word I'm going to say. Left hand is the second word. So, for example, if you had to vote Coach Bowden or Coach Norvell, if you say Bowden, it's right hand, Norvell, left hand. Vote. Right. No, yeah, that is right. Any left hands? Nobody's voting for Nor. That's interesting. Hey, so we're about 90%. We're about 90% unified in that. Coach Bowden, Jimbo Fisher. Right hand is Bowden. Any Jimbo Fishers? No, none of it there. Pepperoni pizza, pineapple pizza. Oh, yes. I ordered one today. So that's about 80-20. Chocolate cake, white cake. Wow. Yeah, I'm with you, Bryce. White cake, white chocolate cake. Chocolate ice cream. Well, it's white box. I get the boxes, okay? That doesn't say vanilla. Vanilla is not white. All right? I've made that mistake many times. When you go get the box, it's white, not vanilla. They're different. At least in certain, when Robin tells me it's the case. Chocolate ice cream, vanilla ice cream. I'm vanilla, man. Thank you. Yes. That's about 50-50. Beach house, lake house. It's 50-50. Winter, summer. You want summer? Winter, you're right. Winter's right over here. Sunny day, rainy day. Robin would be rainy day. She loves rainy days. She should move to Seattle, right? Miss Rosa? Fish or chicken? Fish, chicken. Yes. That's 50-50. Passion worship, Maverick worship. Maverick. Okay, that's mostly Maverick. Florida State, University of Florida. Florida State, University of Florida. John Mark, you're... Oh, no. Paula. Hey, So we're about 95.5%. Save money, spend money. Husband and wife are both like ones on the other, so yes. All right, well, the point I'm trying to make here is that not all of us agree on a lot of stuff. There are many things that we like or maybe dislike can divide us. And I believe that's the role of the enemy. He's trying to bring to the top things that shouldn't be brought to the top, trivial things, and make them big things to bring division. Now, I've said this in the past. Adam and Kim, to me, are a married couple. If they were on a spectrum of seeing eye to eye, they are like, at least from my perspective, really close. Now, if we're on this spectrum and Adam and Kim are here, Robin and Mario are here and here. I mean, from food to flavors to styles of, you know, movies that we watch. You know, she likes winter, I like summer, you know, that kind of stuff. She likes Greek food, not so much for Greek food. I mean, we can go on and on and on how opposite Robin and I are. She's tall, I'm not as tall. So, I'm waiting for gravity to kick in so we can see eye to eye, so... These scenarios that I'm talking about seem trivial and are trivial, but as we start in this long journey with Romans, and it's going to be a long journey, and my guess is that we'll finish sometime around November. So I'm not going to be preaching every week. During the summer, we have our elders come, and we have guest people come, and people come and preach, and it's a great time. So starting today, it'll be like 2 weeks, 3 weeks of Romans, and then it'll start being sporadic. And then in August, it will be week after week. So there's time to buy and get this journal. There were some differences in the Roman church that could have and will create drama and division. And as I said, sometimes you can see it in your own family, and sometimes even in a church family. Sadly, I was part of a church that had a split, and it is horrible. I was part of a soccer club here in town that split, and let me tell you something, it was horrible. And so Paul is going to address some things in his letter, and we are going to extrapolate some principles and truths and apply it into our lives. Throughout the years, it's hard to believe, but September 1, a Mosaic will be 17 years old. It's amazing. And the Lord has brought us this. I mean, we were just a ragtag group of people. You know, just a bunch of young people that, as Eric already prayed, that heard God and took a couple steps of faith. It was pretty amazing. And we've been through different books. We've gone through Ephesians and Philippians and Esther and Ruth and Daniel. We did big portions of Genesis. We've done portions of Psalm, the Song of Solomon. We've done Revelation, at least the first portion of Revelation, Jonah. We've gone through the passages, and the Lord has helped us throughout the years, but this one is going to be the most daunting of all, because it's going to challenge us. It's going to challenge us to make sure that we make the main thing the main thing. Let's pray. I wrote this prayer to help us. Lord, give us a spirit to long and to learn. Lord, I pray that our pride would keep us from learning the things you want us to learn. Lord, I pray that I would consider and that we would consider deeply the themes in this book of Romans. That as we go through the study, Lord, I pray that you would give us a spirit of humility, even if the themes that we touch on are something we are well aware of. Lord, help us to still listen and learn to your spirit. Lord, give us a spirit of humility and a spirit of learning. And then also, Father, the supernatural, spirit-filled strength to practice what you've shown us. We pray this in the great name of Jesus. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, we're just going to go to the very first verse. And Paul is going to make it very clear in the next few chapters that humanity is lost. We are drowning in our sins and rebelliousness, and we need rescuing. That's kind of a big overall theme in the first few chapters. And the rescue only comes through Jesus Christ. We just went through Galatians, and that's basically, again, Paul reiterating that our rescuing comes through Jesus. We're going to see that one of the challenges in the church is that it was easy to fall into tribalism. So what I would consider a multi-tribal or multi-ethnic family. And Paul is going to address that this multi-ethnic, and I would call it a mosaic family, can be united under the banner of Christ. And then the last big theme is that his church will be more like Jesus. Romans 1, this letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach the good news. It is interesting how he immediately describes himself. He describes himself a slave, someone who is chosen or set apart, and an apostle. It is interesting, and it's pretty, I think, amazing, because Paul could have introduced himself in a different way. Paul had the knowledge and the experience to introduce himself as Dr. Paul, eminent theologian Paul, master of the Old Testament Paul, a frontline warrior of Paul, an intellectual, a brilliant mind Paul. But he doesn't do that. He starts off a slave of Christ Jesus. That's amazing, especially in a world where we like to self-promote, promote our degrees. I know not here in our church, but in the world, man, it's, you know, I've earned it and I'm going to flaunt it. And Paul doesn't do that. He chooses a word, doulos. Paul knew in Rome that this word, like in Spanish, I used to say my mom had, when she was growing up, when she was with her father, they had, now they say employees. But I remember my mom describing they were servants. They weren't slaves, but they were servants. And in those days, and I think still today, don't know, even poor people had servants. Or now they call employees. And that was like, if you were a servant, you were a low person on the social status scale. You were way down here. And you knew you were low on the status scale if you could not afford your own servant in your own house. And Paul uses that word. He's using a very lowly word to describe himself. So right off the bat, I'm learning from just this first few words in verse 1 is what Paul thought was important. In 1 Corinthians 4:1, he refers to himself as the lowest of lowest slaves. Other portions, he'll talk about him being the chiefest of sinners. Now, the reason I chuckle is there was a time where I was in a heated dialogue with a family member, and I was trying to go the Paul route, and I wrote, "Listen, so-and-so, I am like Paul. I am a sinner of sinners." Trying to, I think it's hilarious, trying to give this impression that, you know, I'm trying to be humble here. My family member wrote back to me, "I agree with you. You are the chiefest sinners of sinners." And my reaction was anger, you know, like, how dare you say that? And so I didn't really believe, I guess, I was a sinner of sinners. But it sounded good on paper, you know? That's not Paul. Right from the get-go, the Apostle Paul describes himself in words of servanthood. Think of it. Think of someone who may have had an undergraduate degree from Florida State, then a master's from MIT, which we know someone like that, and then a doctorate from Stanford. But when you go to church, you identify yourself as a servant. So what can we learn? No matter who we are, whether we're a pastor, a teacher, an office worker, a big-time lawyer, corporate president, if we're going to be, I believe, if we're going to be productive for God, that we must take on the, you know, the model of Jesus, and Paul talks about it, identify as servants of the King. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? To serve." There was a campus minister, I won't name his name, and if it slips out, we'll edit it. We had a brand new campus ministry, and there were a brand new couple, and there was a veteran campus minister, and they were forced to come together. And there was a moment where the new couple were trying to do an outreach on campus. And the outreach was like an ice cream social. So they asked the veteran campus missionary for help. And he came to the event. But in his mind, the veteran thought he was going to come and help and like lead a Bible study or preach the word. But when he got there, the young new missionary couple were asking him to serve ice cream, to be a servant, to put on an apron and to dig into the bucket and put it in a bowl and hand it to some 18-year-old kid. The veteran campus missionary refused, and he said, "I don't serve ice cream." So the young missionary couple called me, and I tried not to fall into anger because I was so frustrated. Because if we're going to be followers of Jesus, servanthood is something we need to identify with. So it's part of my job to call this guy, and I said, "Listen," I basically read him this portion. And I said, "We are servants. It doesn't matter who we are in status of ministry. If the Lord needs us to serve ice cream, then we serve ice cream. And we do it with a smile. Because if you can't serve ice cream, then you can't really be in this campus ministry." And so Paul identifies himself as a servant. So no matter who what we do at work and our degrees in or our experience, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." And Jesus is our model. Second thing I find in this letter, the Paul says, "A slave of Christ Jesus, chosen to be an apostle and sent out to preach the good news." Chosen to be an apostle. Paul did not self-appoint. He didn't say, "You know what, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to be this. And he was called. He was called. And this is super important. There's a difference between a hired hand and a called shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 12 says, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Paul was called, set apart. And you know this because the things that he had to go through were super intense, being flogged for the name of Christ. Paul had a rough journey. Paul, as we learn in Philippians, learned how to be grateful even when he was hungry or when he was in jail. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so Paul had gone through a lot, and the reason I believe he went through a lot, he was able to go through a lot, is because he was called. He understood, and you have to read Acts to see what happened in his life. He had a supernatural encounter with the living God. He had lots of reasons to call it quits. If you just signed up to be an apostle because you already had the knowledge, he maybe thought it would be cool to be called an apostle. But it wouldn't be cool to be flogged 5 different times. The Bible also says he was set apart and chosen. It basically means he was a Pharisee, meaning he was set apart for the law, but God set Paul apart for the gospel. And the gospel is the good news, so he can share the good news. So when someone asked Paul, who are you? If somebody, you know, I just recently had to ask someone to give me a bio for a web page. Paul would say, I am a servant set apart to be an apostle to preach the good news, the gospel. That's pretty amazing. People to ask you who you are, what would you say? I understand on a resume you can't say that. But in your hearts, when you come here and you walk through these doors, one of the things that we try to do in at Mosaic Church is that when you walk through the doors, the level of authority, it flattens. You know, there's not this hierarchy of authority, but we flatten that authority. Yes, we have elders. Yes, we have pastor. But man, we are brothers and sisters. We're here to serve one another. I've seen, if not all of you, many of you take out the trash after a fellowship, fold a table, clean up the tables after events and pick up stuff around the building. It brings me great joy when I see that, because no matter what job you have, no matter what title you have, God has all called us to serve in his kingdom, to preach the good news. So that's one thing we can learn. And if you already knew that, maybe you can learn it to do it better for his glory. So when someone asked Paul, who are you? He says, I'm a servant set apart to be an apostle to preach the good news, the gospel. Probably wrote, and I'm thinking, Lord, thank you for Jesus. Lord, help us to not get tied up on earthly titles and earthly positions. Lord, help us to keep humble and look at the opportunity to serve as a privilege. And it would be a privilege to be called a servant of the Lord. So I'm not going to go much longer. I'm going to stop here. I do want to challenge us this morning. Do we have that same attitude? I'm going to ask the band to come on up. And second song. And I'd like for us to, just for a moment, self-evaluate. Something we can extrapolate from this just this first few verses. A slave of Christ, chosen by God to be an apostle, sent out to preach his good news. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your family. Help us to learn. Help us, even though we might have gone over the book of Romans many times in small groups somewhere, Lord, help us to always learn. Thank you for the opportunities that you've given us. Lord, help us to emulate your son, Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. Lord, help us. Lord, we don't want to be hired hands when it's time to serve, we're out. When it's time to protect, we're out. But Lord, help us to be called. We say thank you, Father. Keep us humble so we can learn what you're saying through this passage and these passages. Eyes closed, head bowed, and just a hand raised. Say, Pastor Mario, I could use some more help in the attitude of servanthood. Whether it's your family or your church or wherever, just raise your hand. Amen. Yes. Lord, help us, help me, Father, to stay humble. And Lord, thank you, Father. You every day. Thank you for our church, our beautiful church. And I'm not talking about the stained glass. I'm talking about the people in these pews right now. Just beautiful, beautiful souls. Lord, help us to be more like you. That when how we love one another and serve one another is more beautiful than these stained glass windows that we have. And Lord, help us to always keep our eyes on you. We're not going to let the trivial bring division. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to sing this song. Just kind of seal and codify what he's teaching us this morning.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.